This is the lane, the finale.
Oh, don't. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Dan, shall we start with your news, your recent news? You're no longer at ESPN, you are at the Evening Standard.
That's correct, Tom.
Back to British shores.
Yes.
How did that come about, Dan? And, can we still find you at the usual place?
Where yeah, you can still find me at the usual place on Twitter. It's much the same, really. It's still doing Tottenham. Now just doing it for the Evening Standard, not for ESPN.
So we'll get to pick it up at the end of the evening outside the train station.
Find me on the tube, find me on the website, find me
on your kitchen table.
Yes, yeah. Which is where we are right now, for context.
Yeah, that was really bad context. Joining us for the last ever Tottenham Way podcast is Jim at Stylish Riot and Ollie Lister.
Hello. Not at Ollie Lister.
No, not at Ollie Lister anymore. You got banned for threatening us, basically, didn't you?
Yeah, I was trying to do a public service and I got done for it.
So this is a Tottenham Way account, and you very jokingly threatened to expel us from life.
From life.
Kill us, basically.
Yeah, what did you actually say? So I missed this.
I said...
I will kill you.
I will kill you. Yeah. And supposedly Twitter has a problem with that.
It's hard to sense the tone on Twitter, I'll give them that.
They need like a sarcastic font, don't they? But they don't. So
you need a winky emoji. That would have done it.
Oh,
I think that would have spared you.
Damn.
Think of all the genuine threats that could slip through the net, though, just from genuine arseholes that are threatening to kill famous people and just sticking a winky face on the end. And that's fine. It doesn't get picked up in the algorithm.
I'm not. Don't know this for
that's
sure.
That's the way around.
I reckon if I sent you a message now saying I will kill you with a winky emoji, it would be fine.
Probably. Fine. You're verified.
I don't want to do it, though, because
Evening Standard.
It would be a problem if I didn't find it. Yeah.
In the first week. Yeah.
In George Osborne's office. Again.
On the kitchen table. Jim, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
I think this is the first time that all four of us have done a podcast since the first podcast of this season. And there's going to be a bit more on that because we've made some predictions in that opening podcast. Some of them have come to fruition. Some of them aren't too bad. Some of them, damn, are absolutely fucking shocking.
Were they banterful ones?
No. Yours was. I mean, I'm going to try and find the audio and stick it in at
don't
start.
Mate,
but we'll
mug me off.
You're a professional.
That's the last one I can do. I want. Just threaten to kill me with a winky face.
Do they know it's the last one?
They do now. Well, we put it out on Twitter. Yeah, but so I suppose if you weren't on Twitter yesterday, you wouldn't know. This is the final Tottenham Way podcast in its current guise. We are going to release the odd special one. So if you listen to the quiz over Christmas, then that's the sort of thing that we'll probably do semi-periodically through the season. But it's no longer going to be a weekly podcast, which is sad, Dan, isn't it?
It is sad, Tom. I feel like I might get emotional toward the end of this.
Not after you've heard your predictions at the start. As soon as I mug you off, that'll be fine.
We'll back. I'll be glad.
May not even reach an hour here. Okay, well let's make it a good one. Let's start. Oh, I was going to say let's make it a good one. Then start with the Pochettino quotes, which feels like quite a down point to start on, but feels as good a place as any. His quotes after the game, Dan. So I think we all know what he said, but I think there's a context here, isn't there, of how he said it and what was perhaps a hidden message behind it. You feel like it was maybe a bit of an ultimatum towards Levy, is that?
I should clarify that I wasn't actually there. I was in the mix zone when he said it, so I don't know how exactly he said it. But I mean, looking on it on paper, it had, I wouldn't say it was quite an ultimatum, but he sort of came close to issuing one, I think. You know, like on the old Football Manager, there was like send ultimatum.
Yeah.
And on the new one, there were like 1,000 like nuanced options. It was somewhere in those options towards send ultimatum, but not the full ultimatum,
right.
I think. Was that an impression you got? It seemed that way to me. You know, it was kind of, we need to be braver and take risks, which I think people have inferred was about money and we need to create a new idea, which was about the project and the philosophy. And it seemed like that was a very strong message. And he then refused again to confirm he'd be at Spurs next season, which also felt like it tied in, and maybe, you know, he's saying, this is what I want, and if you don't give it to me, then, you know, you could lose me.
So he kind of said, 100% I'm here, but it's up to Daniel, pretty much, didn't he?
Yeah.
And
so how does that sit with you then, to hear that? Because, I mean, so it was only 2 weeks ago that he was saying that we're 4 years ahead in terms of our project. I'm paraphrasing heavily there, but it's the message was that we are ahead in our project. So is this maybe him going, well, you know, I've got us here, and now it's time to back me to keep us here or to move on?
I mean, with this group of players and with Pochettino, and it's like time to deliver now, isn't it? They've been brilliant, absolutely fantastic, overachieved for, I think, we've net spend is like 40 million over the last 8 transfer windows or something like that. And it's incredible what he's done. And if we do want to kick on, then Levy has to spend more money and pay the wages. Otherwise, we're going to lose the players we have, and we're not going to be able to get those next level players that we need. We only need 2 or 3 to really take us on.
I mean, okay, so...
And Pochettino's not going to hang around forever.
Mm.
He's not just going to... Because we're going to plateau if we don't invest. This is the ceiling for this group, I think.
Is it a weird time to do it, going into a new stadium, or is it the perfect time to do it, do you think?
I mean, it's a good time. I don't necessarily think it's an ultimatum or even coming close to it. Actually, I think it's quite a clever way of, like, getting Spurs in the headlines, but getting people talking about them, you know. Kind of a disappointing end to the season when you talk about the FA Cup semi-final and crawling over the line effectively against Newcastle. And it gives us a kind of spin away from, you know, that kind of ending to the season.
Is that a positive spin, though?
But it's not created positive coverage for Spurs. Really.
But it's created coverage, and it's getting people talking about it. And it's talking about Tottenham going to the next level. At least they're in that conversation. It's not about kind of retracting and falling back.
He's saying the things that I, as a fan, want to hear him say. Because we want Levy to spend that money and to carry on progressing, because otherwise we're not going to progress. And I think the most important person in the club, bar anyone, is Pochettino. Everyone can say about Harry Kane or Daniel Levy himself, but Pochettino is the glue that holds that club together.
Sure, but I don't think a manager that's unhappy kind of comes out talking in that sense about kind of wanting to take the club further. I don't think it was an ultimatum. I think he's just making a point.
No, I don't think it's that serious. I'm saying the quote's good. Yeah, but I don't even think you want to hear him say.
I don't even think Daniel Levy should necessarily be worried about it. I think it's just kind of...
Dan's pulling faces.
Go on, Dan.
I think Ollie's talking nonsense. I mean, well, yeah, I think so. Like, I think everything managers say, when it's something noteworthy, it tends to be quite deliberate. They know what they're doing. They know how it's going to be received. They know how it's going to be picked up.
But he usually plays such a straight bat as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, like, I think.
Well, used to. You know,
he's,
And he's prone to saying things a bit wacky, let's be honest, and just saying things and moving on from that.
It does seem to me like a deliberate message to Levy and a tactic to put a bit of pressure on him and make it known what he wants. And I think, I don't really understand your point about him wanting to get Spurs in the headlines. I think it's been a decent end to the season, really. They can say we finished third, and he doesn't really need that unwanted attention, you know. But
I don't think it is unwanted. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. That's my feeling, that it may just be about kind of keeping us in the conversation when people are talking about teams that are doing, are Spurs going to be spending big and so on. I actually think it creates positive headlines, because then everyone's talking about, oh, who might be coming to Spurs, rather than who's leaving Spurs and so on.
Well, yeah, if it's going to happen, and if Levy's going to back Pochettino more than he's done, financially, let's say, more than he's done to date, then, yeah, it looks good, because it looks like, Pochettino knows it's going to happen. It looks very good, because it looks like, oh, you know, Levy's responded to him, he's backed him, and that would be really positive at the end of the summer. But we don't know that this is going to go down well with Levy. He's kind of backed him into a corner, I think. And,
unless that and corner's it, already been discussed, and they're already aware of what he's got.
If he's, I mean, to come out and say it, I think, suggests that he must be confident of getting it. Otherwise, it's quite a big risk, and it...
Has backfired on previous managers as well. Yarl and Redknapp have both done the same.
Yeah, to come out and say it is quite ballsy if he hasn't already had some assurances that.
But that's my feeling that he probably has.
But we don't know that, and well, I mean, I don't know that.
It's like the last day of school. Do you remember when your last day of the year at school before you went off for your summer holidays, and everyone just becomes a bit mad, and you just do crazy shit and just
steal the clocks and stuff.
School just gets torn to pieces, and like the maybe it's just that. Maybe he's just kind of forgot that he's got to go back to work.
Well, I think he did say. It's been difficult to talk about the future.
Sorry, stealing clocks. So I just heard what you said there. Stealing clocks, mad shit like that.
Mad.
The school clock.
Well, not the one in the tower, you know.
You're just going off to another tower.
Mate, where I went to school, there was no fucking tower.
Where did you hang the people from?
Okay.
At my first school, there were bells you could ring. There was this old bloke, and you could, if you like, made friends.
And you could ring his bell.
He let you ring the bell. Yeah.
If you made friends with him. Okay. All right. Let's move on. That was a conversation that ended in a very odd place. I'm not editing.
Reject that bit.
No, not editing that. Last part. Yeah, exactly. That's it. I'm done with it. So Pochettino has spoken for at least the last 3 or 4 weeks about getting business done. And we've talked about this on previous pods, Dan. Getting business done early, but not during the World Cup, and the transfer window finishes early. So really, with all this adds up to is that we've got about 2.5 weeks to do our business before the World Cup starts. So this feels like, if it is an ultimatum, then he's not really given leaving a lot of time to kind of put that into action, has he?
Well, I think part of the message was also about, not just about money, but about Levy maybe avoiding some of his previous habits, such as leaving transfer business late. And Pochettino is on record saying that 3 or 4 times, that he wants the business done early. And also I think about selling players late as well. It's not a secret anymore that Alderweireld, Rose and Dembélé could all leave. They're all kind of available for transfer. And I think what Pochettino wants to avoid is a scenario where Alderweireld goes to Man U or whatever on deadline day for 50 million when he could go to Man U in the next couple of weeks for, say, 40 million. And I think that part of the be brave and take risks thing could be about that sort of scenario. Just, you know, just let him go. Let him go to a rival. Get the money and let me rebuild. And I think he believes that by getting players in early, and he's not said he won't do business during the World Cup. I think he doesn't want to do business on the back of good performances at the World Cup.
Okay.
He doesn't want to do an El Hadj youth, which I think is fair.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So I think, it does leave quite a limited window for World Cup players. It's about a month now, and they probably go off to training camps in about, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're going to very quickly, I think, get an indication of how these talks between Levy and Pochettino have gone and whether Levy's kind of on board with it. If the World Cup comes and goes and nothing's happened, no one's left, no one's come, and it's as quiet as it was last summer, then I think you can kind of say with some confidence that Levy's sort of said no.
Yeah. But and then where does that leave Pochettino? So heavy links today with Chelsea. I mean, from your point of view, you guys as fans, do you see any possibility whatsoever that Pochettino would go to Chelsea?
No.
Why? Why so sure?
I mean, that's a big step to go to a rival. And he's built up such a good reputation, so much goodwill. His career's not exactly heading in a bad direction at Tottenham. He's just finished above them. Probably have more money to spend, but they, you know, they've got their own kind of restructuring and building of the new stadium. If
they're going to be at Wembley for 4 years.
You know, he has a really good opportunity if things go well at Tottenham to build something special. And I don't doubt that he could go to Chelsea, spend a lot and maybe win the league. But I think if he settled into Spurs and, you know, gets the backing or whatever, then he could have a career rather than a stint.
I mean, he's got almost total control of everything that goes on at Spurs. There's no way that Chelsea will give him those assurances.
And for how long as well, exactly. Even if he did. Yeah.
All Chelsea Spurs managers seem to hate it as well.
Yeah. Or they grow to hate it very quickly.
It's all about the same problems, really. I mean, yes, he might have a bigger transfer kitty, but they're building a new stadium. and he's just gone through that ordeal. I'm sure he's not. You know, it does create problems and confusion. They're spending a hell of a long time at Wembley, which I think he'd probably like to avoid again. they've got a rebuilding job this summer. They're not in the Champions League. He's just got, you know, worked so hard to get Spurs into the Champions League consistently. They might lose Hazard and Courtois. Their managers don't really get a huge say over transfers, as the treatment of kind of Barkley and Drinkwater have proven. And I just it doesn't seem like I'm not going to say it's bollocks, because I think there's probably something to Chelsea admiring him, but I can't see Pochettino going there. I could see Pochettino maybe making Chelsea think he might go there for a while this summer, because it might strengthen his hand with Levy, but I can't honestly see him taking the plunge and sort of uprooting himself like that for Chelsea.
The club that was always going to go in for Poch and never seen to was the United, wasn't it? That would seem to be the sensible destination if he's going to go anywhere else.
And I think we've probably
gone past that point where that would happen.
And probably still need to be concerned about Atletico losing Simeone, because that feels like a very... It feels like a like for like. Obviously, just Pochettino would be as novice as Simeone was when he walked into that job. Anyway, Brian McPherson on Twitter, he asked two questions. One, how confident are you that Poch can get his spending spree? I think we've probably half answered that at least. But two, it doesn't turn out like Everton's. And I thought that was quite a funny example, because I think we've been there.
Liverpool did it. Everton have done it.
Yeah, so how do we, if it happens, let's say for argument's sake that it does happen, he gets his transfer kitty, Toby and Rose go, and that's the best part of 100 million, minimum 80, let's say, plus a war chest that Levy grants him, 150 to 200 million. How do we make sure that it doesn't turn into the Magnificent Seven? And who do we target? Who would be your ideal? I'd want to hear names.
It just doesn't need wholesale changes, does it? It needs two or three proper additions.
Even if Toby and Rose go?
Yeah. They haven't played, have they?
No, but look at... Ollie's mentioned it already. The semi-final was a good example, and the way we did tail off. And when you look at the changes that we had to make against Brighton's good example... Watford, Newcastle as well. And when you look at that midfield of Wanyama and Sissoko especially.
Yeah, but there was quite a few injuries for that game as well, wasn't there? So
yeah, but if your replacements aren't very good, then surely you do need to flesh the squad out with replacements that are.
But you said Rose and Alderweireld, you didn't say centre midfield.
But then if you're saying two or three, is that in place of Toby and Rose, or is that as well as? That feels like a big question, really, doesn't it? Do we replace those and then look at having only one of those spaces left?
Well, I think
one...
Alderweireld, they're talking about Delight. I know, is that how you say it?
Deligit.
Deligit, yeah.
Who's 18 years old.
And for Rose, I mean, I'm a fan of Ben Davies, but I prefer an actual Danny Rose rather than this weird thing that we've had this season. But he's checked out, so if we do get Bertrand in, then I think that'll be a good sign.
Is there any point selling Rose to Everton? See, that's been a big rumour, isn't it? And it felt like if Rose wants to go United, which was the story all the way through the season and in the summer, and it kind of felt fine, but it just feels really pointless to send him to Everton, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, based on absolutely nothing, I've got a feeling that Rose might be the one to stay out of Alderweireld and Dembele.
Okay.
But if he does go, like, Bertrand seems like a good shout.
Skinny Luke Shaw would...
Yeah.
Too many injuries for me. I think Bertrand's had a good run and looks pretty capable. Probably looking to
get away Champions League final.
Won a Champions League final. There you go. There's the winner that we need. Plus Ranieri in the summer, we'll be sorted then.
I actually think we could have quite a big clear out, unlike Jim. I think we've got a lot of players that are kind of nowhere near pushing the first team that have been there for a few years now that should be shipping out. Sissoko, God bless him.
I know, you've been a defender of Sissoko.
I have been a defender. I don't know. I think he gets a lot of flack.
I never want to see him again.
And he gets far too much flack. But, you know, he's obviously not going to ever be a key player for us. He's never going to be a star.
When 70,000 people laugh at you every time you go through on goal and shank it or put it over. I mean, I've been...
Oh, yeah, of course he's going to play well then, is he?
I sit next to you and We hear what goes on around us, and you've admirably supported him, and I've supported him, but fuck me. I am done with seeing him in a top job. Fuck out of my face.
But part of that is because of his treatment, and people were like from day one determined he was never going to play well for us. And he got dogs abuse from the get-go. So, a lot of people have got to kind of say, well, maybe it's because every time he even got near the pitch, people would burn him. Mm. It was just ridiculous. Anyway, moving on.
There must be a reason why moving on, terrible.
But I think there are several areas. We need to sort out midfield. We've had so much chopping and changing in midfield. We've had about six players. God knows how many different pairings this year.
Do you think Wanyama will stay or go?
I think he should. I'm wary of too
should
much
what?
Change.
Stay or go?
Stay, sorry, yeah. I'm wary of too much change. I think there's definitely players we need to move on and replace well. I want to replace them with... I want to get the hunger back. That's what I felt like it's been missing a little bit. We've not had anyone waiting in the wings that would go, if I get two games here of playing... Winks is the only one, and then he's busted his ankle for 6 months, basically.
It's almost but think when Poch... He did it at the end of last season.
It was a bomb,
but he was back, wasn't he?
He did it again against Palace.
I thought it was the same ankle, though, isn't it?
It's likely
recurrence of the same injury.
He could well be, but I think
He's got chocolate ankles, that's the problem.
He's got Harry Kane ankles.
Pochettino, when he first came in, it was all about, think of that first cycle of team that he had, and it was Mason, Kane, others, that could step in, that he knew were hungry for it, and it feels like that's maybe where we're at again.
I think
again.
The key thing there, even going back to the Bentaleb, Mason and so forth, is his midfield two were settled. He pretty much knew who was going to be starting in midfield. Last year, you had about three players that it centred on, and then Winks would come in. But this year...
Winks and Dembele and Wanyama have just not been fit.
Well, and also, I think Wanyama...
And Dyer is...
The only reason I think Wanyama might go, and this is just speculation, is he has been injured a lot. And I just wonder if it's one of those injuries that... He looks like he's been lost a yard of pace, seems to be trailing the player a lot rather than... And getting caught the wrong side, that would be the only reason to let him go.
I think he's a classic example of someone who's injured for a long time and then came in and just couldn't get any rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely. But I hope that's
similar to Lamella.
Yeah, it's true of so many players under Pochettino. I think Lamella proved you wrong against Leicester, mate.
Hat trick, full quality.
I'd call that a hat trick as well.
That is a class hat trick.
You're a mug.
Do you remember Harry Kane's hat-trick against Leicester?
Yes. Actually, it's very
played
similar.
By the same rules.
Very fair.
Great reference.
Should mention Kane hit his 30 goals this season. First time a player's hit 30 goals in a 38-game season and not won the Golden Boot. Obviously, it went to Salah. Liverpool fans are saying that he only got 29, but it just increases the comedy every single time I hear it.
I wish he'd won it.
Saltiness
would have been.
First time we've had a player score 40 since Clive Allen. That's a long time ago.
Considering again didn't score in August and again had his ankle busted for a period of time where he wasn't just out. When he came back, he struggled to get back up to fitness.
It's an odd season.
If he hadn't have got that injury, so confidently would have. Got Salah.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think he's played that well. And I mean that within the context of
since he came back from injury.
But he's not had last season. He scared everyone. Mm. And I think there are a lot of games where he's really struggled
against United,
still come up with two goals. It's just
against United at home and Arsenal at home. He was just insanely good. All round player was just incredible.
Absolutely
bullied them.
Used to it now. He's just raised the bar. Mm. You just expect a certain level of brilliance from him.
No, he has normalised.
He has, but since he came back from injury, he's definitely not been.
Oh, yeah, since he came back from injury, I don't think anyone's disputing this. Like since beginning of April, but I think, as you said, in that run in February, he was as good as he's ever been. I think
he's perfected this ball out to the right.
He hit it. If it's dropping, if it's bobbling on either foot.
Perlo or Carrick, it's incredible.
He started to remind me of the rhythm that Bale got into in his season, where it was usually Dawson that would kind of fire that crossfield ball, and he'd hit it first time on the volley straight across goal, and it would be Defoe or Pav or Van der Vaart, someone in there, and it was just that confidence of going.
Sounds like the diet of Trippier, mate.
Yeah, and that's what's
a classic.
Alderweireld to Ali was the original, let's face it. But God, there's such a Poundland version, isn't it? Diet to Trippier.
I love Trips.
Christ, you do, don't you? We'll get on to that, I think. But yeah, I mean, it is incredible. And do you think? Is it worth saying that Kane is the best that we've had in the Premier League era?
Yeah.
I mean, is it, boys?
It's Bale or Kane.
Bale or Modric.
Kane's now done it for as long as Bale had.
Yeah, but no, Bale's then gone on and won three Champions Leagues. Yeah, scored the winner in the Champions League final, the Club World Cup.
Yeah, but we're talking about... He didn't do that for Spurs, did he?
Yeah, well, yeah, but...
The team was built around Bale as well. You've got to bear in mind, like, Kane very much played for a team, and under ABB, it was about get the ball to Bale. Mm. It was all about making him be the scorer.
But that's Kane because he was by far better than everyone else in that team.
Yeah, but that goes to show, like, and Kane's knocking in 30.
Yeah, but he's got better players around him.
He has.
I think Kane's better, but I don't think...
They're different players.
They are.
The thing with Bale is...
he's more aesthetic.
He's beautiful. But he would he would grab a game by the scruff of the neck and say, we're fucking winning this. And especially the latter half of this season, Kane just hadn't done that. In the games where you'd expect him to, he started off fantastic against United. And then it started not going our way and he fucking disappeared. Absolutely disappeared.
Mm. I would say he wasn't fit.
Yeah, if he didn't get injured, I think
we'd be looking at
him. If you're not fit, don't play. I mean, it's partly his fault.
I mean,
this is a whole podcast.
Who was a sat next? Well, I was sat next to Kath and Charlie against Newcastle, and he was like running in treacle. Absolutely running in treacle.
Yeah.
And it was having a negative impact on us against West Brom, the same. And that has massively contributed to the way we have ended the season.
Jim says Kane out. I mean, it is, just to finish on this point, it is remarkable the fact that he's done this. Third season in a row, he's gotten 30 goals, all told, in all comps. And he's not player of the season. Can you imagine that happening at any point in our history, in our Premier League history?
No, I mean, he's a monster. He's insanely good.
Why do you sell him then?
I don't want to say.
You wanted to go score the World Club? Chop shop for Real Madrid or whatever.
Yeah. Come on, mate.
What?
We'll give you another go at that.
I'll try later.
Not editing it now. It is incredible. Shall we go back to our pre-season predictions? Because I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
So, before the season started, we asked...
Is this on our running order?
No, because I decided not to send it to you. So, the first thing... I want to go in here with.
We're going to get another beer to prepare.
Okay. We actually put not including these because lol.
Yes, because some are. I mean,
yes, please, Daniel.
There is something special about these. So, Dan, I feel like you need the right of reply.
I'm listening.
I feel like you need the right of reply to be sitting down and let us know. So, there is a moment during our pre-season predictions where you said, brazenly, I would say, I'm not at all convinced by Man City. I feel that needs addressing.
Don't play it back. I don't mind. Because I was being sarcastic, I think.
No, you weren't. You were not. You were really convinced.
You should have asked him.
You know what? That's... I was wrong. And I don't mind saying that.
Okay, let me...
I think... Can I have a right reply?
Yeah,
you said I can have it. I actually think part of what Guardiola's done and that's been so brilliant is make us all think that was inevitable. You know, how could anyone say at the beginning of the season that City weren't going to win the league? Look how much better they are than everyone else. Look how good. Look how good. Sorry, Ollie was giving me a beer. Look how good De Bruyne is. Look how good Silva is, etc., etc. But actually, at the beginning of the season. It wasn't that obvious, was it?
We say
and
that.
That's part of the beauty.
I agree to a point, but we did. We all did our top seven predictions as well, and we all went for City, which is another very strange thing.
Yeah, because you're all sheep. I'm free.
You went for City as well. That's what I mean. You went for City because the whole conversation.
Yeah, well, I called it, didn't I? So thanks very much.
Not having it. Sorry. Let's go through this quickly. So we all went for top scorer after Kane. Dan went with Ali. I went with Eriksen. Ollie went with Son and you went with Kane.
What?
You went with second top scorer will be Kane because you went Ali's going to be top scorer.
Did I?
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that.
I meant in the league. Yeah. He was going to be second top scorer in the league.
Okay. Most yellows.
Did so I? Who was it?
That's sorry. Fucking mental. Son. Did I really say
I think it was Son, yeah.
You haven't even checked.
Yeah, but it's...
genuinely, I don't...
We'll go with Son, I got it right.
The important thing was that Jim got mugged off.
Okay,
that's it. Yeah, yeah. Most yellows.
I don't remember.
Dan, you went with Lamella. I went with Trippier. Ollie went with Wanyama. Jim, you went with Wanyama. It was Dyer in the end.
Okay.
To be fair, we didn't know he was going to be injured for 9 months of the season.
That wasn't the question, mate. The next one was most injured. So, Dan, you went with Winks. Decent call.
Good shout.
I went with Dembele. Equally decent shout.
Well, he's played more games than Winks, so not equally decent. Worse.
Ollie, you went with Lamella.
Again, a decent shout. Again,
pretty
a
good shout. Pretty good.
Jim, you went with Edwards because you, again, were trying to be too clever for it.
Has he played at all this season? He was injured for ages.
It's just.
And then he went to Norwich and was injured.
Even when we
massive
were doing
overthinking.
If you listen back, if you listen back to that early pod, you go Edwards and Dan goes, "Oh, come on, mate."
I think you'll find who I said hasn't played 1 minute of football for Spurs this season.
I think you'll find we don't give a shit. worst player. Dan, you pussied out of this one. I said Trippier.
Upset people.
You said Davis and you said Nkudu.
I think I win.
I think you probably do win that one, actually.
Two in a row.
For two clubs as well.
This is an interesting one. We went for player of the season if it wasn't going to be Kane. The only person to get this right was you, Vertonghen. Fair shout.
By you, he means me.
Yeah, sorry, Jim, you got this right. Ali and Ericsson were the other two shouts.
Hey, who did I go for?
Ericsson and... me and Ollie were Ericsson and you went for Dele Alli.
Who may I add was actually the best player of the year?
He was members player of the year, wasn't he? So
yeah.
Young players.
Stephen Hawking's football boots gets a point.
Useful. Look at heart.
This was an interesting one, and I think this would be a good one to go back to. Most feared fixture, so the one that we were worried about most before. Dan, you said Arsenal at Wembley, and your reason was they'd won like 8 in a row at Wembley or something
A crap shout.
I don't think it was at this time. I was shitting out.
We nearly shitted it as well.
I did not want to lose that game, and you know.
Actually, it was a fairly tense 1-0, even though it was battering.
We absolutely battered them and then nearly threw it away at the end.
Yeah, I mean, so in context as well, they were sixth and we were fourth at the time. I think fear wasn't quite... It was just like, we just don't mess it up. Like, we are better than them.
I think they would have been in touch with us if we'd lost.
Really? Yeah, of course. I went for City away, probably good reason. Ollie, you went for Liverpool away.
Again?
Which,
I mean...
It was a bit of a cracker,
great
yeah.
fun, yeah.
but it was also terrifying.
That is one of the funniest games that I've ever seen.
We'll come on to that in a bit. most feared fixture for Jim was Barcelona away, because again, you were trying to be too clever. biggest flop. Biggest flop.
I actually meant Real Madrid away.
Was I pussy out of that?
Yeah,
you
pussied out of biggest flop.
He didn't want to upset any of the
I know all the players. I mean, their WhatsApp group.
No, you know, I just don't ever see the point of... I wish I wasn't their WhatsApp group. I just don't see the point in...
You see the point now, though, don't you?
I'm saying worst player.
You said that when these were being done at the start of the season.
Basically,
so you are consistent.
At the club.
So Dan pussied out. I went for Lloris.
Saved it at the end.
Yeah, fair.
I think we may have all been a bit harsh on Lloris.
Ollie went for Dembele.
Agreed, get out of my club.
Bad shout, I think. Certainly not.
Yeah, you missed that, didn't you?
Certainly not the biggest flop.
He's dead to me.
Why? What, after the semi final?
Yep, absolute dead to me.
Well, because he was hurt and he gave the ball away.
Yeah,
it was extreme.
I was absolutely hurt. Ridiculous decision that he made and cost us that semi final.
Okay, well, you went with Sissoko at the start of the season, which
probably
unfair.
Get out of my club as well. Are we going to win anything? Was the next question. Dan, you said League Cup. Awful shout, considering Edwards didn't even get into that team. I said FA Cup. Equally awful shout, I suppose. You two went with no. Where are we going to finish? So this was an interesting one. Dan, you said third.
Thanks very much.
I reckon I've
said sixth.
I said fourth. Ollie, you went with fifth. Jim, you went with sixth. So
sixth.
Yeah, that was hard work. So
we were playing 38 away games.
True, and I think that's probably the next thing.
Parroting the party line there.
Next thing we should probably talk about. It was an exciting way to see off Wembley. We won't talk about the game because it was fucking, it was like Soccer Aid, basically, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? Just nonsense. You know, just...
Robbie Williams came on.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan Wilkes.
It was his mate, yeah, his gimpy mate, Jonathan Wilkes.
I mean, Gazza at half-time was quite Wilkes. Soccer Aid.
Jonathan Wilkes, yeah. Look, the fact is, next season, we're going to be in our third home stadium in 3 years. Does the way that we performed at Wembley, overall, does that fill you with a bit more hope, or is it... You know, are you still a little bit worried about it? Do you think it was a good dress rehearsal for that?
I think it's going to be a good dress rehearsal.
Okay. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Do you want to add anything more to that, or do you feel like Ollie's really got
I think Ollie's sort of got to the bones of it there, and I think it's going to be fine.
Really?
I think it'll be fine. I think there's a whole sort of collective energy that's excited to be back in Tottenham.
Blue seats.
Actual Tottenham and blue seats, songs that you can actually sing because it's not so big that the sound gets lost, and it's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
We deserve enormous credit for the season at Wembley, don't we? You said it there, Jim, 38 away games, and it was, really. We did make it home to a point, and I think it did start to tell towards the end. But
I take it you've all seen the news this morning that Spurs could play a few games at Wembley at the
Your
start.
News, wasn't it?
I can't take credit for it. It was in the Times first.
Isn't I thought the Premier League have said that they wouldn't even entertain that.
You can't have two home stadiums.
No, so the first... Sorry.
Go on.
I can speak for a moment. This is a great podcast.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thanks for listening.
What a way to sign off.
I think it's an option. It's not definitely going to happen, but I think... Apparently, when Spurs first signed the agreement with the FA, there were a number of contingency plans in there.
Right.
One was another whole season at Wembley, which expired at the end of April. They've also got a contingency plan for a few home games at Wembley pending Premier League permission. So it could be the run of away games, the three away games in a row, then the international break, then say... Home game at Wembley, away game, home game at Wembley, then move to the new stadium. Mm. Or I suppose it could be just start the season with a few home away as usual, but the home games are at Wembley until the international break.
It would be unprecedented. There
was a bit of a red herring that the other Premier League clubs need to prove it, which isn't true. It needs the Premier League board, which is Richard Scudamore, basically, and two non-execs to approve it. And I think Spurs would be fairly confident that the Premier League would do them a favour, basically.
What's the alternative if they don't approve it then? What, we don't play the games and we forfeit the games?
I think the alternative if they don't approve it would be as many away games as can be possibly squeezed in a row.
19.
Which I think Liverpool and West Ham got three each. Mm. And I think... That's obviously
a precedent. West Ham didn't even have to build this international break.
Well, that's a precedent that's obviously been set, and it would take up to the international break, which then gives you an extra couple of weeks.
Scaffolding up inside to put seats on, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm guessing here, but maybe Spurs could squeeze them for four, say, and then that would be a good chunk.
I saw someone reply to that tweet that said that you were looking for clicks for your new job.
No, very unfair. My new job's actually for a newspaper. Right, so.
Yeah.
They have to do test events, though, don't they? I think any new ground has to do.
Yeah, Levy's confirmed they have to do two test events. Yeah, so.
Once a sort of.
That's for any like, sort of
public
arena. Probably
fucking loads of money to go as well.
But I think it might happen, to be honest. I get the impression that
wouldn't
Spurs,
have asked if we didn't.
Yeah, Spurs wouldn't have written this into the contract with the FA unless there'd been an informal conversation with Scudamore saying, you know, when the time comes, will you give this or not?
That stadium does not look like it's going to be ready in 3 months.
No, I mean, don't hold me to this, but I think it's certainly an option they're considering. But the plan is still. Play the first home game of next season at the new stadium, you know, whether it's at the start of the season or after three or four away games.
Okay, all right. I mean, I don't want to fucking go back to that place. Does my head in.
Never again.
No, well, hopefully a couple of times with semis and finals.
No point.
Fair enough.
Any particular... Better just give the ball away for no reason.
Oh, come on, Jim. It's the last one. Any particular memory from Wembley that you will think back fondly? I mean, there was a few really good games. Real Madrid. Is that the only one to think?
Oh, Eriksen's goal against United.
When
that was when I went into the.
No, I didn't. I walked into the wrong stand.
What?
So I was so excited. I realised. The wrong block.
Yeah, because the stands are quite big.
I was looking for my seat, realised I was, and then looked up and we'd scored. So just celebrated on the stairs.
Yeah. Sad.
Fuck it.
I mean, that was a great moment, but to the point where you almost... Everything that we did that was good at Wembley, I felt a tiny bit of sadness that it wasn't at White Hart Lane. Mm. I imagine
smashing Real Madrid under the lights at the Lane.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it... It met, when it was Inter, it was incredible.
That's no way to look at things, I think.
No, I agree, but I think that... No, I don't agree, actually, with that. I think
which is it? When it was loud, it was bloody loud, actually.
It was.
Even at Leicester the other day, it got quite buzzing.
It's too big, isn't it? So someone starts singing there, by the time it gets to you and you sing back, the fucking laws of physics are against you.
And when we're not moving back to fucking Turf Moor, it's going to be similar. No, it won't be.
Okay. I mean, it was. In terms of actually viewing football, watching the match, it is quite a nice place to watch.
It is
just a soulless bowl, though, isn't it?
But I've always thought people that sit in the upper tier are fucking weirdos, but I didn't have much choice, so I had to sit there, and I really fucking enjoyed it, actually.
Well, there you go.
So much so that I'm sitting in the upper tier at the new stadium.
Oh, nice. Taking it with you. Okay, who was your... So we talked about player of the season. Who was your player of the season this year, Dan?
Vertonghen.
Really, not Kane?
I think Vertonghen just edges it. I think we've already gone over...
We haven't talked about Vertonghen properly.
Yeah, we've already gone over that Kane had a couple of quiet spells, I think, in August, as usual, and then obviously after his injury.
It was ridiculous this August, wasn't it? Posts, like, missing one-on-ones, missing...
Yeah, he wasn't even that quiet, was he? Yeah. He just didn't score. I think, obviously, Kane's been amazing, and I don't really agree with what Jim said earlier. But I think Vertonghen's just been consistently so good. I can think of one shaky game he's had. One. And that was Juve away.
Yeah.
That was a collective shit.
Oh, no, in fact, sorry. Newcastle. Sorry. No, Watford, sorry, Juve. Sorry, Juve at home. Should he have given away a Stonewall pen?
That was
Juve.
Yeah.
It's going well.
Was that Wembley? That was Wembley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, sorry.
It was the most Stonewall pen
I think Juve at home, Vertonghen looked weirdly shaky. And obviously he was caught short for the Dybala goal. And he should have given away a Stonewall pen. But I think that game aside, he has just been brilliant in almost every game. And given the fact that he wasn't next to Alderweireld, who he spent most of his career with, and most of the time he was next to Sanchez, a novice in the Premier League, I think part of... how good Sanchez has been playing next to Vertonghen, the Ledley King, Anthony Gardner dynamic, as I call it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's like, there's so many times where he's got in the way of a goal bound shot or cross. So many times he's started an attack by bringing the ball out.
He's just a good footballer, isn't he?
He's such a good footballer, and I think he kind of seems in a kind of Italian centre half type way to sort of be getting better with age. I could always imagine the next 2 years being just as good, even though he's 31 now.
Bit Rolls Royce, isn't he? Do you guys agree, Jan Vertonghen, over the course of the season?
Not quite.
Okay.
Although Jan was absolutely sensational this season, for me it was Eriksen. The reason being, and I when you get the vote, I was kind of like toying with between those two. And for me it was more a case of that Eriksen hit those 10 out of 10s. And I think Jan was consistently 8 out of 10 most weeks. Some of the things Eriksen did this season, I think probably what tipped it for me was him versus Chelsea.
Yeah.
Where I think he just kind of took the game by the scruff of the neck. And whenever we had a good performance this season, he was central to it. And I've been quite critical of him previously. And I think there were times, especially last season, where it looked like he'd kind of fade in and out. And I think his level of performance throughout most of the season has been... really, really good.
Fair. Jim, agree?
No, Jan Vertonghen.
Okay, fair enough. Goal of the season. Sorry, Vertonghen's mine.
Okay.
Goal of the season.
It's hard to look beyond old Big Vic, isn't it?
Oh, mate. Any goal where the player starts off even in widescreen, you can't see him when the ball's gone loose. He fucking, it's a train arriving.
I was sure it had gone wide, and I was like, why? Because I was watching it on the stream, and there was no commentary, it was on silent. And I just thought it hit like the stanchion behind the goal.
Yeah, because it's perfectly in the corner of the fold.
And
of the
it bends as well, and it came starts outside the post.
And then I was confused as to why the players were running about, because I was like, that's never going in.
Especially Wanyama as well. It's what just like, you hit, see though. Every time he hits a ball now, when he sees a long shot, it's a proper shank, isn't it?
There were so many elements that I liked. The first element was that I didn't go to that game. I wasn't covering it. So I was watching it at home at a... I don't normally do Liverpool away gym. Well, I didn't from PSGM. I will be now. But I was actually at a family do. It was like my old uncle's 45th or something. And my family are all Spurs fans.
Are you 15? Yeah. My old uncle.
Sorry. He is quite old.
Sorry.
45?
Yeah. Because you're approaching that. It's fucking old, mate.
Wow. Come on, mate.
Anyway, I was at a family thing, so I got to kind of watch it. And all my family are Spurs fans, so I got to watch it and celebrate it as a fan, which I didn't normally get to do. Mm. The second reason is that I think when he came on, I think the commentator questioned... correct me if I'm wrong. I think the commentator sort of questioned what he would do to change the game. Or maybe it was just Twitter in general.
Okay.
But there was a lot of, like, you know, oh, Pochettino bringing on Wanyama to get a goal here.
Because we're 1-0 down at the time.
Yeah,
right?
It was 1-0 down. Yeah. And then I think the third reason is...
Didn't he drop him into centre-back, though?
No.
No, he's centre-mid.
Centre-mid, yeah.
Because Sanchez got taken off, didn't he? Because he was on a yellow.
I think Dyer dropped back.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then the third reason is just that he actually started the move as well. So he gets the ball in midfield, sort of plays it wide, then goes off screen.
Yeah.
And then the punch comes out to him, he just appears and smashed it. It was a great goal.
It's not an empty goal either. Like, it's gone far enough out for the goalkeeper to set himself again, and it's just bang past him.
Brilliant.
I feel like you're going to disagree here.
I am going to disagree.
I'm going to disagree with whatever Ollie says.
It's not Aurier versus West Ham or whatever, that cross.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Ericsson versus Chelsea.
Yeah.
Not only was it just like the perfect strike where it's dropped about 400 feet to like go clip in the bar. No keeper saving it, but I think, you know, kind of like the Wanyama goal in terms of like it was pivotal in kind of getting us back into the game.
Mm.
But at that point in the match, we were really struggling, I thought. We didn't look like we were 1-0 down, a stroke of half time. And he just does like a moment of magic. And it's just such a beautiful goal as well. Mm. Like, he's gone over the keeper's head, in off the bar. I don't know, it just had everything for me. I love like those. It's very Ronaldo-esque, you know, when he just like, the ball kind of goes like a volleyball, you know.
Just a knuckle shot or something like that. Knuckle ball,
Like a floaty one, you know, those two people.
Yeah,
like
the fake, Jim, agree, Wanyama or Eriksen? Or
I'm going to go for a different type of goal altogether.
Of course you are.
Overthinking it again.
The Sun's second against Everton at home, where every single player in the team was involved. Ali backheel and Sun finish.
That was a really good
Eriksen goal.
Eriksen's goal.
So you were so close to the perfect score.
I thought
it
was Sun, but
no.
You know.
You were really
that goal, anyway.
That
you know the goal, I mean, don't
you? I do know the one, the Eriksen one. Game of the season?
Dortmund for me.
Really? Home or away? Presumably home.
Home.
Statement or.
Just. I think it was the first home Champions League game, maybe,
We weren't expecting it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think by the time it was Real Madrid at home, I think there was a kind of optimism that Spurs could do it. I mean, no one expected it to happen, but no one was kind of ruling it out. I think Dortmund at home, it was easy to forget like how kind of bleak the mood was about the Champions League, given what happened at Wembley last year. Mm. And I really think, and Pochettino said this actually, so I'm kind of nicking his view, but it did seem to be the turning point at Wembley. And Dortmund went on quite
a dismal... We hadn't won in the league, had we, yet?
I don't we didn't win for a while yet afterwards.
Yeah, and I think
Bournemouth was the first win that we got up.
Yeah, and the whole mood there was just so bleak. And it was just unexpectedly brilliant. And the goals were great. There were great goals in that. Kane's near post goal, and then like an amazing counter attacking goal. And it was also a kind of the first time
was
I
was. It 2-1 or 3-1?
3-1.
Yeah, it was a bit of a roper dope performance, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because
they were all over us.
It was the first time. In a good way, it was kind of the first time I've really seen Spurs do that.
We were deliberately hitting them on the counter attack, weren't we? Because they had so much possession, and that Yarmolenko goal was fantastic.
Yeah, and they scored a great goal. I think it was just really unexpected in so many ways.
Good shot.
I don't think anyone could have sat there and said, you know, this is how Spurs are going to play, this is what's going to happen. I think most people thought Spurs were going to come on stark against an experienced European side again.
Good shout, I think. Ollie?
For me, United at home. Okay. Always a game that I fear, even though it's been quite kind to us the last few
years.
But typically it's been a shocker. And I thought, in terms of just dominating a good team, you know, you can look at like the Madrid, the Dortmund matches,
even
Liverpool,
genuinely 5 or 6.
They were all kind of counter-attacking performances where I felt this was just a domination of an actually very good team, as we found out.
Sanchez's first or second, might have been his first league game, and he was put on a leash by Dembele the entire game.
Lamella just kicked him for no reason whatsoever.
It
was Ali, wasn't it?
Ali's gone into
it. I think we really bullied them that day, and it was quintessential good Pochettino performance, and I thought it was our most professional performance
there. Yeah, there was some really good professional fouls by Dyer.
I love it. I love that so much.
Good shout there. Jim?
I'm going to go for Chelsea away.
Yeah.
We weren't brilliant by any stretch of the imagination. They could have been out of sight in the first half, but we beat Chelsea 3-1 away from home at Stamford Bridge.
First time in a generation.
I was like 4 when we last did that.
It's nice to think that none of us have gone for beating the champions of Europe at home 3-1. Like, there have been some really, really good games for us. It was, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it would be stupid of me to not go for a win and one of the four that we've mentioned there, but Liverpool 2, Spurs 2 was so fucking funny.
It was so fun as well.
I was going to go for Kane's penalty as my goal of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it took nerves, though, didn't it?
Massive
so
nerves.
So remind me, so they went 1-1 in first half.
Give them two goes.
Then
Salah goal. Then Wanyama's equaliser.
Then we get the penalty.
Then Kane missed the penalty.
From Kane over Karius.
Yeah.
Then he misses it down the middle.
Yeah.
Liverpool go up the other end with Salah scoring one of the goals of the season.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that great a goal.
I didn't think it was that good.
I think Lloris could have done better.
No, it was good.
It was good, but then for the goal of the season.
From the position he starts in, he should not be getting near in the goal. Some
absolute schoolboy defending there, though.
Yeah, and Davies.
In the last minute.
It was kind of Messi-like. That was the most Messi-like goal I think he scored. Just wriggling out of a tight hole.
But Lloris did just basically...
One trick pony, isn't he? One trick pony.
Yeah, just annoyingly good trick.
Yeah, it's like Michael Owen was a one trick pony. As soon as he lost his legs, dead.
Yeah, okay. So Salah scores, and then we go down the other end, and Lamella gets fouled, doesn't he?
That is a stonewall penalty. It's a stonewall penalty. And they still can't get it into their fucking Scouse thick heads.
Yeah.
All right.
But then Kane scores it, and then...
We love it.
Klopp
celebrating Salah's goal.
Yeah.
It's Poch as well afterwards. He was like primal, wasn't he? Even old Simeon.
Proper pumped up. Yeah, pumped up Poch is a good Poch. Yeah, I mean, that was... It's not game of the season because we didn't win it, but it was as good as almost, wasn't it? So, yeah. Dan, are you going to pussy out this one? Flop of the season.
I won't pussy out that. I will go for... Flop. Ooh, that's actually quite tricky.
Do you want to come back to you? Because you didn't read the running order.
I think I'll go for Danny Rose.
Ooh, okay.
And I like Danny Rose, the absolute giver of mixed-zone gold quotes. But he, given what he was last year, and given his bullishness on the eve of the season, I think he just hasn't been anywhere near the same player, has he?
I hadn't really considered that, but I think that's a good...
That's a very good
He was still injured, wasn't he? But
yeah, I mean, he's been unlucky with injuries, and he, I think there'll be some quotes to that effect from him tonight saying, you know, he's upset the suggestion he's injury-prone, and, you know, he had one injury, he's recovered, and he's just got, you know, a bad tackle than a
Please
calf
sign
drain.
Me.
Yeah. He did feel like a
guy. Oh, still good.
I'm fit. You know, I think there were several points in the season where, you know, we discussed it on this pod where we said, you know, I think given a run of games, you know, he could overtake Davis. And I really like Davis. I think he's probably one of the nicest blokes at Tottenham, and I think he's a really solid and good player and actually does produce. But he's not Danny Rose in his prime.
He's just not
he?
Dynamic enough.
He's just not got that like thrust and that burst of pace. And Rose, we haven't really seen that. And the closest I think we've come was Leicester.
Yeah, it was really good.
And I think that was probably because it was such a mad open game and Rose was kind of allowed to do that. But I think from his point of view, he probably feels like the season's ending at exactly the wrong time. Mm. And, you know, if he had three or four more weeks and then the World Cup, he might be able to nudge ahead. Yeah, I think he'll definitely go. And I think
he looked a lot trimmer, actually.
I think he'll be England's first choice left back as well, just because there's a dearth of
He's top draw. He's so good.
It will be Ashley Young. That's
maybe he should play better then.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't.
I'm not sure Young will go. I think it'll be Rose and Bertrand.
Oh,
I think
Young's going 100%. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, 100% set pieces.
Well, Delph's in, so I think Delph could be the kind of auxiliary.
That's why left tomorrow. That's why I think Rose might miss out because he just hasn't played, has he?
He's played about 15 games this season, hasn't he? Like, yeah,
that'd be funny. Good. That would be funny.
Flop of the season, Ollie.
I'll give you three.
Go on.
This is quite a tough one because actually there's a few contenders.
You went for Dembele pre-season, by the way, just to remind you.
Yeah, and I'm gonna. Get not, out. I'm not gonna say that.
You're doubling down. All right, sorry.
No.
Can't get out of Goma.
And it's going to go to one, and I've had to. I'm gonna go Llorente. I was gonna go Aurier, okay. But I'm gonna go Llorente just because. I think there was
that is the right answer, isn't it?
Really? I mean, I was going to go Llorente as well.
Yeah,
I think.
I now feel bad for Danny Rose.
Danny Rose deserves nothing from me.
I think.
Feel bad for
Llorente. There was a lot of optimism about Llorente when he joined because, you know, he scored like 15 league goals a season before.
Yeah.
You know, he's a season pro. We've wanted him for years. He's a, you know, in his prime, he was a fantastic player. And he's just been useless. I mean, to the point they can't even be offered to put him on the bench. Just like, don't bother me.
We bought a player who has a strength, and we haven't played to that once. And he's my flop because he's been tremendously disappointing. I didn't know footballers could be that slow. But you know.
He wasn't bought to be quick, was he? I agree with you, but he wasn't bought to be quick.
But he wasn't bought to be geriatric, though, was he?
But he scores headers and he holds the ball up, and we have been playing it into the channels for him, which is not what he's good at.
Yeah, I think so. So but yours is Llorente.
Yeah, it was just not necessarily his fault. It's not been a good fit.
Okay, I think so. I think that's fair enough. I think. Just to put another name in there, well, you've already said it, Ollie, I think Aurier's a disaster for us, and I don't think
it's ever going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either, and I will happily...
There's a reason Trippier has held down his first choice.
The best thing that ever happened to Kieran Trippier's career is us signing Serge Aurier, I think. Seriously, I just don't...
I mean, I think Trippier's improved a great deal, and actually, if he would have, like, most improved... You know, there's the gym awards.
it's an interesting one, the right back, though, because Walker Peters kind of... It was such an odd game against Leicester, so it's a difficult one to judge, but looked really good going forward second half. Really poor defensively. really poor defensively first half.
Bit lightweight
though. Yeah, I just wonder whether... I'd like to see a sort of Royal Rumble from the start of the season between Walker Peters, Aurier and Trippier, and just see who comes out on top. Because I think there's something in all of them, including Aurier. I think he's quite positive.
I like Aurier.
I don't mind him. I feel like one of them could be great next year, and probably not Trippier because I think we've seen his best. But one of those other two guys could.
I think Aurier is going to come good. I honestly do.
He's not as quick as I thought he'd be. I think that's probably the disappointment. Because he was kind of signed on the grounds that he's going to be a kind of quick, dynamic fullback, and he's not really.
I think all the footage of him at PSG, it may just be slow League One fullbacks, but all the footage from PSG was him like rinsing people around the outside and dribbling around them. So again, it may just be a rhythm thing, a lack of pre-season thing.
Eric Edlund plays for every single League One team.
He's just a bit loose, isn't he? And
a liability.
That penalty he gave away against Juve away was absolutely ridiculous. Yeah,
you could see it, the worst thing about that is that you could see it coming about 20 minutes before it happened.
Like, absolute nonsense.
You know what's going to happen when he gets the wrong side of it. And
we said it against Brighton as
that
well.
That wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault, but it's just like it is his fault because he's the wrong side of the play.
No,
mistake that it keeps on happening to him. You can't be that unfortunate.
It was his fault. I mean, giving away penalties against Real Madrid and Juve is one thing, but then doing exactly the same thing in Brighton.
I mean, it's got another. Isn't the it? One against Real Madrid. It was just going to put it in the goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had to make that. Yeah, I think that's fair. I would put him strongly in at the top of it, I think. But there we go. That is it. That is.
No, I don't want to end. Can we keep going?
What do you want to talk about, Dan?
Don't want the pod to end, Dom.
Don't make me redundant.
Serves not definite now.
Yeah.
Honestly,
somebody.
Well, I will turn myself around. Twice as good.
I know I've been complacent. That, somebody asked the Tottenham Way account. Well, there's a few questions that we got. Some of them saying, is this real? Or is this attention seeking? Which I was like, all right. No.
Have you heard the pod, though, to be fair?
It's not attention seeking. No, we have to stop.
That's what all podcasting is.
Yeah, basically.
Listen
yeah.
to me.
This is just exactly. It's just pure ego.
It's really hard work, though. Like, I tried and I realised after about 4 episodes, I cannot be fucking honest to do this. So, like, fair play to the two of you for sticking it out for so long.
Thanks,
weekly.
Thanks
for having us. I've met Ollie, my new best friend.
I've made a baby.
You what?
Tottenham Way baby, Talia.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Is this where I find out? Like, I've seen those adverts in like Waterloo toilets where it's like paternity tests, and I've been thinking about
it. She does look a bit like Neil Buchanan.
She has got bad hair, yeah.
Just for some context, what we're talking about here is Ollie, your baby.
Yes, my child, yeah.
With
yeah,
Rosa,
yeah.
Another pod regular as well. I think, look.
That is the pod's greatest achievement.
No one fucking listens to the end.
If she goes on to do cure cancer or something... Tottenham Way podcast.
And by proxy, Tottenham with a reason. And what a lovely way to finish, isn't it? I think we should end by saying thank you to everyone that's guest appeared, everyone that's supported, everyone that's retweeted, given us feedback. Everyone that's been pretty much engaged with the podcast in the last 3 years, we want to say a massive thank you. You two have probably been the most frequent
You got a gift
guests?
Or something?
Yeah. No, not been here long, have you? Dan, do you have a particular memory that you want to pick out the last 3 years doing the pod?
Oh, don't do this stuff.
I'll give you some examples. Okay, let me give you the examples and you have to pick one of them who it was. So, first season, interviewing Martin Yole.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
Battered as well. The summer specials from the US, when you recorded in the... what was it? It was like an Irish bar.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
They were good though.
O'Flanagan's or something.
O'Flanagan's,
The Irish bar in New York. I've got it wrong. It's not O'Flanagan's, but everyone knows what I mean.
Any analysis of an Eric Lamela goal? I mean, there's not many. So
I can't believe we didn't devote 45 minutes to his hat trick this week.
I'm on board with the hat trick now.
I liked not Ryan Mason, but the Masons was.
We should have made some kind of feature around Ryan Mason and the Masons in our look back.
Oh yeah, that's a shame. All glorious.
I think my
final option. There's one more option. Winning the Christmas quiz.
That was great.
In December.
I think
my best memories are. Well, probably the early days. We were so naive, so pure. We recorded the one we recorded by the ice machine. Stick in my mind. I think with Harry Sherlock.
Yeah, stuck us in the kitchen.
And we were literally in the kitchen of a pub next to an ice machine. That was the length we went to get this podcast.
The one in the office where that iPad was on an upturned bin, and I was sat on a box that was collapsing.
That was when Ollie, you went to the players, the training ground, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then went on the pitch at half time. That was Newcastle when we lost 2-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a good episode, actually. Mm. That was still when you were the Tottenham way. Lots of changes, Dan. Gone through a lot of changes in the last year.
Dan's gone through like 3 jobs.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fair to say.
Not very stable.
I think that's probably it's fair to say that that's probably the reason why we can't actually continue this anymore, because we both just can't dedicate the time to it. There's people asking, and that's basically the reason for it, isn't it? We can't dedicate the time.
I can.
Okay. Well, look forward to Dan.
the Dan Kilpatrick way.
Yeah. The Dan Kilpatrick way on Acast and Audio Boom next season. From
the best thing to come Harris. Out of this podcast, apart from Tyler, is the moniker Killy P.
Killy P. Yeah, that's a
Dan
nice
Killy
one.
P.
Dan Killy P.
It irritates me. People in the industry use it a lot. I know. And that's why. Messages being like Killy P from colleagues and stuff. It's not cool.
I disagree.
Quite fitting then. Really.
Thank you guys for joining us for this last episode. Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure for the last 3 years.
It's been good, mate.
Thank you all very much for listening. We will see you soon because we will be back with the odd special. But for now, for the last time, come on you Spurs.